Thanks. You know, one of the great things, at least for me, about hearing announcements, whether they are done, however they are done, is that it lets you know that life doesn't just happen here on Sundays. That there's life happening Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all week long. I was brought up in a church where the church doors were open on Sunday, but the rest of the week nothing was happening, and nothing went on. And I'm glad to say that every day, there's some virtually every day, this place, something's happening here, and the ministry is taking place. And that should remind us that life, Christian life, isn't just on Sundays, is it? We follow, supposed to live like heaven on Sunday, not hell like Monday. On Monday, it's heaven is to carry with us, and we live for Jesus each and every day. So, thanks, Kim, for a great job, and Anderson. How many of you know and would agree with me that God gives some promises to us? You may be aware, too, that between every person and every promise, that there's a problem that you have to hurdle. The promises that God gives to us is one thing to the person, but before we can get them, we almost always have to go through a problem. That's what we call a giant. That's why we've been involved in a series for the last 6 or 7 weeks called Battling Giants, is because when God gives you a promise and you start to reach for it, you confront a giant who doesn't want you to experience the fullness of God's promise. And so for the last several weeks, we've been talking about giants and how to overcome them. You are familiar with, or many of you, maybe most of you are familiar with the story of David and Goliath in the Old Testament, where he came against a giant who was hindering Israel from experiencing freedom and the full resources of what God had. So David comes, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, and with one small stone, he throws it at this giant, and the giant comes tumbling down. We've looked at several giants, and 2 weeks ago, we started to look at this giant called money. Money. And we discovered in that week that money was not just a giant, but it has become a god, small G-O-D. It really has so much power in our society. There are people who fall in love with money. Not the actual currency itself, but they fall in love with what money can promise. It promises to do. And let me tell you, money can bring a lot of comfort. It can bring make things very, very convenient. But when you start loving money, it does something to you. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is a root that begins to create all sorts of evil." And people who have fallen in love with money and not conquered this giant in their life, it says that they actually can drift away from the Lord and become so preoccupied with material things and possessions, earthly stuff, that they lose sight of God and they bring upon themselves a whole lot of grief. And that's what 1 Timothy 6:10 says. Well, one of the tentacles of this giant that we face is called greed. And when a person falls in love with money and doesn't operate in accordance with God's principles, it takes a hold of their heart and it begins to cause all sorts of havoc in them. Greed is something that tells you, it lies to you and says, you'll never have enough. So therefore, you've got to hold on to what you got. You know, it's possible, the Bible says, to hold on to what you've got and lose it all. And it's possible to give it away and it all comes back to you. But because of the fear, there's a tremendous fear in our society that, and I can't say that I'm exempt for it, and I don't exempt from it, and I don't think you are either. There's a fear that says, if I give, I'm going to have less. And if I give everything, I will have nothing. I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. Because if you give, you're not going to have less. God gives you more. And we're going to see a promise in the scriptures in just a few moments that backs that up. And if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you're not going to have nothing. You'll have everything. All of his resources will be available for you because you chose to give your life to the Lord. I know people who are afraid to come to God because they are convinced that God is one who says, well, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't say this, can't say that, can't have this. And it's all can'ts. And he's a taker. But I'm telling you, your God is a giver. And when we come to him, we begin to understand that giving is the door that opens great possibility to us. So we talked in the first week about this God, but last week we talked about two terms that if you're serious about aligning yourself with God, that you'll come into contact with these two terms in the Bible, and the two terms are called tithes and offerings. When the Bible talks about giving, the word giving is used over 1,500 times. Depending upon the translation, there's some that uses it over 2,000 times. But in the Bible, 1,500 times, at least, this term giving is used. And God's strategy for his people is wrapped up in those two terms, tithes and offerings. So we spent several moments last week identifying and talking about tithes and offerings. Tithe is 10%. Of your income. So if you have 10 things that are given to you, it could be 10 cents, it could be $10, it could be $100, it could be $100,000, but whatever you have, a tenth is one tenth of what you have. And that's the Bible kind of talks about that in the Old Testament. What does that mean? It means here's 10. One for you, two for you, three for you, four for you, five for you, six for you. Wow, I'm getting kind of excited. Seven for you, eight for you, nine for you, and one for me. Man, that doesn't seem fair, but that's the way God has planned it. I'm going to be gracious to you. I'm going to give you nine, and I'm actually going to put in your care 10 so I can test you. I'm going to entrust to you all things, and I'm going to test you to see if you will live on nine and give back one. How gracious of the Lord. He did that with Adam and Eve when he created the world. He put them in the Garden of Eden. You remember that? And he says, everything's yours. Do whatever you want. Go wherever you want. Oh, by the way, there is just one thing. There's one tree that I don't want you to eat from. And human nature is such that we seem to have to have that one that belongs to God. And I heard, I didn't personally hear someone last week, and we talked about tithing, but one of the other pastors heard someone talking in the lobby there as they were leaving. He says, man, that's a lot, a tenth. I mean, you know, waitresses and waiters want 15%. Government wants 60%. You know, tenth doesn't sound too bad to me, but it really is a matter of perspective, isn't it? If you have a $1,000 bill that's due tomorrow, or if I have a $1,000 bill that's due tomorrow, and you come up after service and say, I want to give you $100 towards that bill, do you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, thank you very much. But in my mind, I'm going to say, what's $100? That's so small. I need $1,000. I don't need $100. That's not going to even meet the need tomorrow. That's what I'm going to say. It's too small. But then when I've got $1,000 and God says, I want $100, I'm saying, oh, man, that's a lot. Jeez, how can I give that much to God? You see, it's a matter of perspective. And we dealt with that last week. And the hope is in the fulfillment of Scripture is that when we align ourselves with his principles, his strategy, then God opens up a door to blessing. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's refresh our minds by looking at Malachi chapter 3. And I would want to read one verse, a couple of verses to you. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. It's a very short book, has four verses. And he's talking to the people about using this tenth that belongs to him for their own benefit. Oh, I just can't make it this month. I'm gonna use God's money. It belongs to him, but I'm gonna use it. So he says this in verse nine. He says, "You've been robbing me. But I say to you, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. And because I have proven that text to be true, I know that many of you have proven that text to be true, we came up with a 3-month tithe challenge. And if you're here this week, it's in your bulletin, you can pull it out. I believe that God wants to bless your life. I believe that he wants to give back to you his favor and open heaven's gates to you, not just financially, but in so many different realms. And if you will align yourself, that will happen. And I am committed to that so much that if you will commit yourself to the tithe challenge for 3 months, if God doesn't do that, we'll give your money back. All you have to do is make a call to Pastor Andrew, let him know, hey, you know, God wasn't faithful. What you taught 3 months ago isn't true. I want my money back. We'll give you your money back. Won't ask any questions at all. It can't be easier than that. But I know that God blesses those who align themselves with his strategy. I've done it since I was 19 years old now, and we've been through ups and downs. I've had to eat very meagerly at times. We didn't have enough for our bills, but I'm telling you, God always got us through. We didn't rob him from what was his. I go through the same struggles as everybody else, but I believe that so strongly that we encourage you. So if you're here today and you weren't here last week and you'd like to take that challenge, please take us up on that and see if God will do that. So now, having said that, we talked about first week this money, which is the God, and we talked about the amount that you give, tithes and offerings. Now I want to talk to you about the attitude that you give your offering with, because if you don't have the right attitude, your offering is not any good. We could turn to Genesis chapter 4. Right after sin happens, we read a narrative about two brothers, Cain and Abel, and they both brought an offering to God. It's the first place where they talk about bringing an offering to God. They brought it to him, and God says one was acceptable. He accepted Abel's, but he did not accept Cain's. Now, we won't study that verse because there's a lot of debate as to why it wasn't acceptable, but we do learn from that at the very beginning of the Bible that there are some offerings that are not acceptable to God. And if you're not going to have the right attitude, then keep your money. Don't give it, because it's not going to do you any good. So let me share with you four, and I'm going to add a couple more attitudes that will be necessary for you and me to have if we choose to really deal with this thing called money. If we choose to do more than just go to church and hear about something, but we're actually going to put into practice something, and if we're really going to align ourselves with God, then we need to make sure that we have the right attitude so that the full blessing of God will be poured out, if that makes sense. So if you'll take your bulletins, there should be some notes, and I want you to go to the very back page. I'm going to kind of work my way from the back to the front. On Thursday, it seemed like that the best order to do this was the way I printed it, but now I kind of feel like it's reversed, so I'm reversing it for you. So, number one, give willingly. Give willingly. Don't give if you feel pressured or guilted into something. I listen to the programs that are on television, and I know the marketing techniques. I'm not great at it, but I know some of the marketing techniques. I know how to discover kind of your press buttons. If you get all teary-eyed over little puppies who are stranded and have no place to go, I send you a picture of a real terrible-looking puppy who's stranded and has no place to go, and we need your money to help some poor dogs, and then you'll give some money. There's lots of different ways to get you to give money. I don't ever want to be guilty of that. I told the Lord, I says, God, we're doing, as you heard a few moments ago, Future Hope, which is God's vision for us to build a learning center for kids and have a preschool for our community to reach out. And I says, I don't ever want to be guilty of trying to press people and push people and make them feel guilty that they should give to this. You're going to have to do that. If you ever pick that up from me, please call me, because I want to talk to you about that. Because if I see that, if I'm blinded to that, I really want to be corrected in that. Because he says, give willingly. Second of all, give freely. Let me go back and just give you a scripture for this, okay, because you need a scripture. 2 Corinthians 8:12, it says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he doesn't have." That's 2 Corinthians 8:12. So if there's a willingness there, he says, the gift is acceptable. Would any of you receive a gift? Well, maybe some of you would. Don't raise your hand if you would, but if you came up to me today and I needed $100 and you said, "Here's $100. God told me I had to give it. I don't want to, but here anyway. Excuse me, but I'm not that poor yet. I'll die of starvation before I would take $100 from you with that type of an attitude." That's why he said you got to do it willingly or it's just unacceptable to the Lord. Number two, give freely. Matthew 10:8. Says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." You got to do it with no strings attached. Was it 1975 when we purchased our home in Fresno, our first home in Vassar? I said it was 1975, but it was in 75-76. We had didn't have any plans of ever buying a home. We had a mentality that we wanted to be free in case God led us someplace else, so we wouldn't have any string, ties. But this house came up on the market, and our good friend Ed and Kathy Gravelin, who lived right next door to the house, says, "Hey, we're thinking about buying the house." And I said, "Oh yeah, well, if you don't buy it, tell me, maybe we'll buy it." And I was just joking; I wasn't even thinking of it because we didn't have any money. And Ed says, "Would you really?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." Well, that started things rolling and kind of find out, well, you know, if I had $5,000, you know, to put down, we could actually have a house and start a little English Tudor house and start to grow a family. This was before we had kids. And so a friend of ours, Donna would recognize the names if I said them, she remembers, they're grape ranchers in the area, and they came to me one day and says, "Hey, I understand you're thinking about getting a house, and I know that you need some money. We'd like to give you $5,000 towards that." And it wasn't actually a gift, that would be a payment, but it would be like whenever, you know, you can. And these people could have afforded it, but something inside of me, when I prayed about that, the Lord said, there's strings attached. We were a very small assembly of the church that I came from. We started at 85 people and went to about 2,300. And at that time, it was probably about 150 people. And it was like the Lord said, if you take that money, there'll be certain strings. Like you'll be invited out to coffee and you really should go. Because after all, it gave you some money. Well, you should really, you know, and all of those strings. And so I went back to this gentleman and I says, and we still have a relationship, good relationship with them today. Nothing was wrong with them as people. They were generous people, but there were some strings attached. It wasn't freely given. And I says, you know, and I called him by name. I said, "We appreciate your generosity so very much, but we're going to have to decline." Now that's easier. It's easy for me to tell you about, but that was difficult because we're going to lose our home now. Something that we could have had, you know, and all I have to do is say yes. And I could have had that. Well, little did we know that just a few days later, the owner, Mr. Scheimer, would come to us and says, "You know, we really have a love for you guys." And they were Christians as well. They lived out of town up in a place called, Wairika. And he says, "We're going to carry the papers for you so you don't even need a down." And so God provided for that. But I learned a lesson. When you give money, give it freely. You know? Donna, she sometimes will stop and give people who are on the street, you know, the people who are holding up cards. I don't generally do that because I don't think it's wisdom for a variety of reasons, which I could share with anybody. But every once in a while, she will, and I'll say, "Why'd you do that? They're just going to use it for alcohol." She says, "God told me to, so shut up." You know, so, and there are times where you just give, you know. Hey, if you go buy drugs with that, that's up to you. You know, my job is to release freely to you, and I'm not going to worry about what you do with that. Number three, give thankfully. Psalms 116:12, "How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me?" Can anybody say amen to that? How can we repay? You know, Donna went to this India last year, and she's been a couple of times. She's been several places in the world, third world countries, and, And she said, boy, I'll tell you, out of the poverty of that nation, when she would visit people, they would give because they were thankful that they came. They had nothing to give, but they gave out of thankfulness. There was no other motivation, just, I'm really thankful. You know, if you live in America, you live in the greatest nation on this planet. If you think you're poor, let me tell you, just visit a third world country. There's a different level of poverty that happens with the benefits that we have in our system. I'm telling you, even the poorest among us don't qualify for the poor of those nations. Just touching Ethiopia, and we'll be sending a team down there in just a month or so to build some huts and to see the way that they live and to see what we can do to make a difference in their lives. I'm telling you, we're talking poverty there. But when you do it thankfully, then God honors that and accepts your offering. Number four, give joyfully. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You understand as well as I do that word in the Greek means hilarious. Someone who's filled with joy. It's not like, well, I have to, or I should or I ought to, but no, man, I get to give. Now, just a couple of nights ago, I was talking to my wife about this. I felt like the Lord told me to give some money away, a considerable amount of money that we had set aside in our savings for something else, and I felt like I was supposed to give it away, and may not come about for about a month or maybe even 6 weeks, but within the next 2 months, this will happen. And I have to tell you that from a natural standpoint, what I'm talking about, what I would be giving to, is not something I would choose to do. But it is something that I will do because I want to be obedient to the Lord. I've already got it down. The decision's already been made in my mind that money will go to this specific place at the right time. But you see, obedience is not enough. There was a book that was written, Beyond Obedience. You know, God wants us to be more than just obedient. I want to follow him because I love him. Well, he told me to, so I will. Well, good for you. You know, I want to be obedient too, but I want to move beyond obedience to this joyfulness. So now how do I, as a pastor, as a person, how do I give this money away out of obedience? But what bridge do I go over in order to do it joyfully? How do I develop that attitude? Let me suggest a couple of things. I remind myself, number one, that when I give, I break the spirit of greed. Ooh, that can cause a little bit of joy. And oh, wow, you mean when I give in a few weeks from now, when I write that check and I give it away, even though I don't naturally want to, I'm going to kill the giant of greed? Wow, I like that. What? You mean when I give, I'm going to look a whole lot more like Jesus? Because Jesus is the greatest giver of all. God is a giver. He's not a taker. You mean whenever I give, I look a lot more like him? I saw Drew, my grandson, a couple of weeks ago walking around in my shoes. I know that it's just a matter of time. He's going to have my pants on. He's going to have my coat on. I have some hats. He's already worn the hats a few times. Because little kids want to look like their dad. Let me tell you, God is a giver. Every time you give, you look just like him. Oh, wow, I can get a little excited about that. I can be filled with joy. You know, whenever you give, you invest in the future. You invest in his eternal purpose. Whenever you give money, it goes towards his kingdom. I can get excited about that. I'm already now over to the joyful part. I don't have to worry about the check that I write because I'm going to be giving it. Even though I naturally wouldn't do that, I'd tend to hold it. I tend to store it. I tend to think about what it can provide for me. But I'm going to get rid of it, and I'm not going to do it out of obedience. I'm going to do it joyfully. May I suggest just how many was that? Would I give you four or five? I got about 10 here. These keep coming to me. But let me give you another one. Give expectantly. Give expectantly. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Expect something in return. And may I differentiate between having expectations versus being expectant? Because there's a difference. You can be expectant without having any expectations. Dolores back there, Sutherland, bought a present for my grandson this last week. And he found out about the fact that she was going to get him a present. And he didn't know what it was. It turned out to be a tiger that he now keeps on his lent to protect him at night from all the bad guys, along with another tiger. But he's got this tiger. But he didn't know, and I don't know what day it was. Was it like Thursday or something? But I mean, I come in there, I'm getting a present. Oh, well, what is it? I didn't even know what was going on. But he said, I'm getting a present. I said, well, what are you getting? I don't know. I'm getting a present. And she says, yeah, it's coming tonight. It's coming tonight. It's coming tonight. And he was in bed, so he didn't actually get it until the next morning. But it was this tiger. It didn't matter to him what he was getting. Listen, he's getting something. Whenever you give to God, you're going to get something in return. There's something coming back. You don't have to know what it is, but you need to know that when God comes and sees you with the right attitude, he's going to give you something. When dad goes away on a trip, I'm going to bring you home something, kid. What are you going to bring me? I'm going to bring you home something. They just get excited. That's what expectation is. Give wholeheartedly. What an attitude. Because if you don't give wholeheartedly, you will lack authenticity. It has to come from your heart. And last of all, let me say, when you give regularly, you find that it becomes a lifestyle of yours. Now, let me conclude our time together by focusing on one verse. It's a tremendous promise. This promise is not for those who are not going to adjust their lifestyle. But for those who, I'm going to deal with this thing called money. It's not going to rule my life. I'm going to align myself with God's strategy. I'm going to correct my attitude so that it's right. For those who say that, this verse in Luke 6:38 is for you. So if you're not there, turn there with me to Luke 6:38. It's a tremendous verse. It's for you. Now, if you aren't making those decisions, then you can go to sleep right now, okay? Okay, check out, just say goodnight to someone and have a good few moments. But I got about 10, 15 more minutes left, and you can sleep for 15 minutes and then you can be on your way, okay? But this is a promise for those who are going to adjust themselves. Some of you are sleeping on it anyway, so it doesn't, I can look up there and see. I'll try to hurry. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It's going to be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. If you're taking notes, flip back to that first page and put in there, giving will bless you in return. Listen to what Proverbs 11:25 says. A generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, I don't give in order to get a reward, but it's kind of nice to know that there is a reward system. It's kind of nice to know that when you die and you stand before Jesus, that something of what you're doing, the way that you're using your resources in compliance with his law, there's going to be value in that, and there's going to be rewards for that. There's nothing wrong with understanding, even though we don't do it for the reward, to know that I am going to be a rewarder. God is more interested in giving you something than he is in taking something from you. Oh, if I come to Jesus, I've got to have to stop this, and I've got to stop that. I can't say this, can't go there. No, no. If you come to Jesus, he's going to open a door to fullness and joy, because he doesn't want to take. He doesn't really need. You heard, if you were here last week, you remember me telling you that I went to McDonald's with my grandson and I bought him some fries, and then he wouldn't share them. I reached for one, he took it away. And I said, look, you little punk, I can buy all the fries I want. I don't need your fries. You know, God doesn't need our stuff. He wants to give to us. He wants to provide for us. He will bless us in return. He's a giver. Let me tell you, there's two types of people in the world, givers and takers. Which one are you? You know, are you committed to giving generously? And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about giving your time, giving your energies, giving your thought life to God, giving some people assistance who need some assistance. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Do you go on in life just reaching out for what you can get instead of saying, man, I want to learn about the battling of the giants, not just so that I can conquer giants, but so that I can help someone else conquer a giant. 7 o'clock this morning, I had a young man come in, probably I'd say 30 years old, married 10 years. Marriage is falling apart. I was studying back there. Someone back went back and got me, came out and talked to him for a while. He's going, his marriage is falling apart. Certain things are happening. I want to help him overcome the giant that's tearing his family apart. They got 4 kids. You know what divorce does? You know why God hates divorce? It ruins things. It hurts people. He doesn't hate divorced people. He hates divorce itself because it tears. It's not just a fine cut. It's a rending of things. I know a couple right now who's going through a divorce. And, you know, to show you the power of money, one of them went out knowing that they're getting divorced and knowing that California laws say that when you get divorced, you split everything half, the bills included. They've racked up over $10,000 in credit card bills just in the last few weeks. Now, that's how powerful money is. If you don't bring yourself under the control of the Holy Spirit, aligning yourself with Him, it will begin to rule your life. I want to be a giver. I don't want to be a taker. The happiest people in the world, and I can't speak for you, but I kind of want to be happy. You know, I think my main goal is to be holy, but if you want to throw holiness and happiness together, I'll take both of them. You know, so I don't mind being happy, but I think the most happiest people in the world aren't those who take, but those who give. You know, they're miserable. People are miserable who are holding on to it and hoarding it and storing it up and fear that they're going to lose it. They got to watch over it now. And every time the Dow goes down under 10,000, oh, man, we lost. Oh, God, but it's like a journey. They're always afraid. You know what the root word for miserable is? Miser, M-I-S-E-R, miserly. You get in my holding on to things. When you give, number one in your notes, let me tell you, you're going to be blessed in return. Number two, giving will build your faith. Because what he's talking about, he says, give and then it will happen. It's not wait until you get and then you'll be able to give. No, give from wherever you are. I don't have a lot, but I'm going to give something. You go to India, they don't have nothing, got nothing in there, but they give something away to people. When you give, start right now. Be the first. And that's what Elijah learned when he went to the little widow in the desert. And she says, well, I don't have enough to really share. Just get a little bit for my son and myself, and then we're going to die. He says, well, go get me something to eat first. You got to be pretty bold and brazen to ask someone who's poor to give you something to eat first, knowing they don't have anything. But because he knew the principle, he knew that, man, if you give first, no, don't give last, because you'll never have enough left over. Oh, no, it's all gone, nothing left. If you've ever been in a potluck line, ever been the last in line, it's kind of like those hogs at the first, they took all the food. It's kind of like little piggies. It's like they're filling up their plates. Hey, we're back here, you know, we'd like to have a little food, leave a little bit. Never any left over. No, give first. 1 John 4:19, he loved us first. That's why we can love him. He's already given to us everything. So now, because of what you have, give and it. Now notice the word it. Would you circle that if you don't mind circling in the Bible? If you circle stuff in the Bible, circle the word it. Because sometimes you don't get back the same thing you give. Because it expands it to everything. Give and it. The favor of God, the blessing of God. Read the Old Testament and the New. There are certain people who are blessed by God. They found favor in his eyes. That's what it's talking about. When you move from a taker to a giver, now all of a sudden, I am open to it. The Spirit it opens up all of heaven and makes it available to me. It shall be returned to you. You have to be willing to give it first. See, the reason it builds faith is because faith believes what it can't see. And I have to give before I can see. How many would raise your hand and say you have personally started a standing ovation for someone? Could I see your hands? Just raise them high. Okay. There's more than I thought. There's a lot. Now, how many of you have ever been a part of a standing ovation? Could I raise your hand? See, there's a difference between being a part of a standing ovation and being the first one to stand. Now, some people don't give a rip because of their personality. I don't care if anybody else stands. But for me, you know, I'd stand up and I'm hoping that other people will join me. I don't want to be the only one standing. See, that's what faith is. When you give before you can see. And you're committed to that, and then that's what God opens. Now listen, whenever you give in faith, you give investing in the future. 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. That's what I'm trying to do to you this morning. Command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, 1 Timothy 6:19, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. That's what will happen when you give. You'll build your faith. And the last thing I want to communicate to you today is that number three in your notes, giving and God's blessing will be based on your standard of giving. Now, this is where this scripture gets a little bit deeper than most people are willing to go. It doesn't mean that it's so complicated that we can't understand it, but the two truths that I've just shared with you are pretty obvious. It's kind of, if you give, God's going to give back. And if you give, it's going to build your faith. But when he says, for the measure that you use, it will be measured out to you, he's connecting this concept of receiving to giving, and they're inseparable. In other words, your capacity to receive blessing from God is based upon and directly connected to your capacity to give. And that's not just in finances, that's in all of life. Giving is the key to everything. There's a book that Pastor Jack Hayford wrote, and it's called The Key to Everything, and it's all about giving. And I believe that. It's all about giving. God gave his son, and because he gave his son, we now have the access into heaven, the heavenlies. This giving is connected to your ability to receive. Let me give you a couple of examples. There are some, and I would say that in a crowd this size, there's probably a few who you're unwilling, for whatever reason, to give up some things of your past. And because you will not give them up, you'll not be able to receive the new thing that God has for you. That I wrote that in an article that will be coming out Saturday in the Sentinel here in Hanford. And I talked about people who will not give, people who will not give up those things in the past will not be able to receive. You see how that connects to? There are some here today and there are people around that you will not, you're so stubborn you won't give in. And because you won't give in to the wisdom of God, you will hinder yourself from receiving what God wants to do for you. Some of us will not give over to God. We insist on doing it ourselves. We insist on trying to make it happen, trying it with our own strength. You will not give it over to God. And because you won't give it over to God, there's a receptive factor that will never happen in your and my life if that takes place. I mean, are you tracking with me? Giving and getting are connected. Pastor Jack, mentioning him and his book that he wrote, Giving the Key to Everything, he tells a story in that book of a time when he was about 7 years old. And he went over to Aunt Margaret's house, his aunt, and it was the Thanksgiving gathering for the whole family. She brought all the little kids together, and she said, for everything that you're thankful for, I'm going to give you 50 cents. Now, 50 cents even today is pretty good for just being thankful for one thing. And Pastor Jack tells us about that time, and he says, man, I was so excited about getting this money, I could see that I was going to be a millionaire. He says, I was on the verge of financial wealth like never before. This was the opportunities of all opportunities. And I was looking forward to getting so much money that I froze. And I couldn't think of anything to be thankful for. And I finally got something like, thank you for mommy and thank you for daddy. Thank you for the day. He says, I earned $2 that day. Because I was so obsessed with getting that I couldn't give thanks to the Lord. And then he goes on and he says, but what about now? He says, man, there are mega million reasons I could come up with. What about thank God for Aunt Margaret? Thank God for her 10 toes. Thank God for her 10 fingers. That right there is a lot of box right there. And we could go on into infinity, go on and on to say some more things. It was so funny to read it and yet so true. We get obsessed with, I've got to get, I've got to have, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to do this, that we don't give to God what really is His, close the door to blessing, open the door to a curse. Then we wonder why God's not faithful. It has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with us closing the door, whether it be in finances, whether it be giving of ourselves. Sometimes some people, you've come, maybe you don't have any friends. You got to be friendly to have friends. You got to give of yourself. You know, you don't make yourself available for things, so you don't give of your time, so you can't experience some of those things. I prayed last night, and I woke up probably 5 or 6 times throughout the middle of the night, almost on the hour, and just praying and saying, God, this series closes today, but I pray that you'd really help us to win, not just talk about giants, but actually kill some giants in our lives. I pray that you would really. Some of you go home and have a family talk and say, "Hey, are we in line with God? Are we going to make any adjustments at all, or are we content just to go to church Sunday after Sunday and not really, you know, make any adjustments on the basis of the Word? Or do I really want to go home and test God and try? Well, you know, you need to have that conversation with God. And some of you are on the verge of just total release from heaven, and I'm just excited for you, but it's not any different for you than it is for me. You've got to align yourself with God's principles in whatever area. But if you do, I'm telling you, this promise says, man, you give some time, give some resources, give your gifts. Give kind of your, I had a consultant come and talk to me, said, I'm not going to charge you anything. I thought, man, he gave me his expertise for an hour. You know, this guy charges, you know, hundreds of bucks an hour for his information. He sat down and said, I'll just give it to you. I mean, that's a gift, you know. Give some of that away. And it says, if you do, oh, it's going to be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together. Man, there's going to be so much that you're not going to be able to contain it. God's going to take care of you. I pray that that spirit of greed would be broken wherever it's found, in us, in our church, in our city, because giving is really the key to everything. Would you stand with me? I'd like to conclude by, if you wouldn't mind, bridging the aisles so that we can pray together for these giants to come tumbling down. So if that's not too much of an inconvenience, then you would do that. I sure would like to have us pray for that to take place. I hope you, I think most of you are aware of the fact, but for those of you maybe visiting, it's always my reluctance to talk about money and giving. This is probably the third time I've talked about money in 7 years. So, you know, but there's invariably visitors. One guy came down last week and says, yeah, I just visited for the first time. I said, oh, great, I guess you won't be coming back again because we talked about money. Every church talks about money. We all want money. So we joked, and he said, no, I'll visit again. I said, well, great, if you do, that's wonderful. But I want you to know that church is doing fine. You know, we're meeting the bills, and God's been gracious. He's spoken to lots of people, and you've been faithful to respond there. So my talking about money is because we need that. I'm not going to take any offering on the way out, you know, any second offering. I'm not going to show any sad pictures to you. You know, there's just so much blessing that God wants to release to you and me, that if we'll ever believe, see, we don't believe that verse, given it'll be given to you. We read it, we just don't believe it. And so that's why we don't do it. And God says, I want to break the fear that says, if I give, I'll have less. No, you give, you'll have more. Well, if I give everything, man, I'll have nothing. No, you surrender your life to Jesus, cross the board, you'll have everything, not nothing. And that's the truth. And I pray, oh God, I pray that that'll break through into our spirits today. Father, there are giants all around us. We live in a land of giants. The promised land was a land of giants. But they, by your strength, were able to possess the promised land and stand against the giants that they confronted. Even though at times some will say, we look like grasshoppers and compared to these giants. How can we defeat these giants? They can be defeated, not in our own strength. But you said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I can't win over giants. I'm not anything special. But because we belong to you and we're in you, you can help us and you can do it through us. So I'm praying today that giants will fall. Fall in the name of Jesus. Wherever they are, O Lord, whether it be money or hopelessness or whatever it might be, Jesus, I pray that they would fall today in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son. And I pray for victory in the hearts of people. And as we align ourselves more and more with your principles and your plans, I ask you, God, that you would unleash heaven to us. For those who are accepting this tithe challenge for the next 3 months, I pray a blessing. I'm going to pray virtually every day for them, Lord. I'm going to send them a note each month along the way to encourage them. But I pray that you'll be faithful to them and unleash to them more than they could ever have imagined, even in 3 months. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Greatest gift of all would be Jesus. And if you haven't received Jesus, we'd love to pray for you today. Don't usually get a clap for talking about money, but that's good. We give that to the Lord. Why don't we give that to the Lord? Let's just establish the truth to the Lord today. Elders, prayer teams, why don't you come forward? And if you need some prayer today, let's pray for you before you leave. God bless you today. Get out of here. Have a good afternoon.